Praise God. It's been a great worship time declaring the truth of God to say, you know what, the main thing that we need is the gospel, is the hope for our nation. That's what we need. And also, gospel is the hope for each and every one of us in our lives as well. So that's where we are here in terms of encouraging each other. And also encouraging in being encouraged as we hear the word of God. And this morning, this morning, I would just like to read and also focus on few areas that a small book in the Bible. But before we go, I just want to pray. Father God, we thank you for this time of fellowship we have had so far. And your name is praised. You are glorified through our singing, through our giving and worshiping, and also at the time of fellowship. Lord, we just want to give you glory for what you have done on that cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, in that remembering communion as well, Lord, that you have given us hope, assurance, and that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we talk about God has forgiven our sins and our wrongdoings, it's amazing. And we feel so encouraged to say, yes, Lord, thank you very much. And we do also have that part of the Lord's Prayer. When we look at, forgive me as we forgive those who sinned against us. Isn't it? So there is a receiving, there is a giving in those. We have to receive the forgiveness from Father, asking, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. And also, give me strength to forgive those who did wrong against. Forgiveness, it can't be one-sided. We can't be expecting just taking. Yes, but also, as if the word says, as if Jesus talks about saying, this is how we pray. It's very important for us to be particularly clear in about what we ask about forgiveness. In one of those areas, the passage we are looking at, it is from Philemon, and we are going through few verses in there. When I was talking about this Philemon, different people said different accents to it and pronunciations of how it is said, but I will stick to Philemon anyway for now so that I can make it clear for you. It's just the book before Hebrews, if you are looking for it. Most of it is only on one page. It's one chapter with just 25 verses. When we are looking into it, this is a book written by Paul, and it doesn't really give us the concept of any theology. It doesn't give us anything about Paul challenging any church in particular to say, right, most of the times when we look at all the books that Paul has written, talks about leadership, theological concepts, or speaking against those false preachers and teachings. He's got something, but this is one book, when you look at it, it is quite a personal letter. He actually writes to a household rather than to a church, we could say. He does mention those people who are attending in the church or who are at meeting at your place when he writes to Philemon. But when we look at it, this is a personal letter. He addresses it to. And this is where I would just like to look at as well. When we are here, Paul as a leader takes initiative to be also interested in the household and encouraging. You know what? We have to, as a Christians, deal with the issues within the house, within what is happening, and also encouraging them to do what they are supposed to do as Christians. And for now, it's very difficult in the culture where we are in terms of those. It becomes very personal to somebody. It becomes very very much out of, okay, this is my matter. This is where I am. This is how I feel. This is what I do. But I think it's very encouraging to see in a biblical perspective where the leaders are. I mean, yes, we do have the openings where we pray about things. We get to counsel people. There are areas where we are encouraged to do. But this is more than what Paul talks about in writing to them. Let's look at in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. He's talking and he's writing to Philemon and to beloved Apphia. And then it comes to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. When we look at some of these books, when we look at some of these areas we are talking about, this might be written to one of the churches who needs to be done, or maybe a leader who needs to be done. Yes, he's definitely a leader over there. But Philemon, and also when you look at the next name, Apphias, she is believed to be Philemon's wife. And then when we look at the other person, Archippus, he is believed to be, as the commentators and theologians say, either he is Philemon's son or brother. Because he's mentioning those names, and also he says, all those who meet in your house. So these people are a household when he is talking about, and Paul is in Rome and in prison, and he's writing a letter. That's the background we are looking at. And we also look into, when we are going through this, we look into, okay, where did this Philemon come from? Where is this talking about? And where this Onesimus comes from, which we see in him, the passage below. But I just want to look at few areas where Paul mentions it is very important to encourage. He could have written, who probably is the head of the house then, Philemon, and say, Philemon, this is to you, this is what should be happened. But Philemon is talking about, Paul is talking about a servant in Philemon's house. So that's where he's referring to the household or the people living in the house completely, where he mentions to Philemon, to Apphias, and also to Archippus. So we are looking at those three people that he's mentioning. It is very important for us as leaders and for us as a family to recognize who people are in our house as a church. To recognize, also to bring up, you know what? He mentions Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. And we'll also look into the context why he it is. And then our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And Archippus is also, you will see these names in Colossians, because this is a house. Philemon is a rich Christian in Colossae, or we can see it now modern Greece, or Turkey, I think. Yeah, modern Turkey now. It's in. So we are looking at a rich man, and he's got servants. I would also like to say something before we move down to the passage. When we look at the servants, and when we are looking at slavery, we need to understand the context in those days. To have servants is a common thing, and these rich men had every power over their servants. These servants do not have any right on anything. They own, these rich people own the people over there and everything. So they're also saying, I was reading, and it says, if somebody did anything wrong, one of the areas, if they break a flower vase or something which is really liked by the owner, they could actually put the servants to death by throwing them into the waters which had big animals to be fed on. So they can just easily be punished they can easily be put into death because it's their property. They are not even looked as human. It is their property and they could do anything. So now we are looking at a context of Paul writing to Philemon and about a person. And these areas, I would just like to look into a few things and we will see what is it for us to learn from this book today. In verses 4 to 7, Paul writes about how Philemon's nature is about our character. I thank God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and to all the saints. He's encouraging and thanking God for Philemon and his household, saying that, you know what, I am really encouraged about your faith that you are sharing. And also, I am encouraged the love you show to all the saints. It always has to be one towards God. We always kind of look at vertical and horizontal, the love that we receive and the love we show towards God. And at the same time, those two fellow men as well. So Paul encourages in this book to say, yes, as much as we love God, that's not all enough. I thank God, and also I'm encouraged to see that you love God, you have that faith in God, and also you love your fellow saints, those people around you, those who are sharing. So in that area, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and said, they are always thanking God. Paul is thanking God for Philemon. And there is verse 7. We have great joy and encouragement or consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. It's a great testimony to see, isn't it? Because of the love you show, because of the faith you have, we are really encouraged. We are really encouraged in what you do, in serving God. When we look at it, Paul mentions about Philemon, you are the leader, fellow brother, fellow laborer. That means he is also a leader along, and which in his first mission where he met the family in Colossae. And now, this is the background, and this is how Paul writes to Philemon about encouraging him. And then comes to the point what he wants to make, the body of this letter to Philemon, and which is very important for us to look into. Verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Once who was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me, and I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, and that is my own heart. I would just like to quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, everyone thinks of forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Isn't it a great quotation to say? Oh yes, you know what? It's a lovely idea to forgive. But until you have something to forgive, it then becomes a difficult area. And now, Paul writing to Philemon is not something that can be easily done. Onesimus, who is Philemon's servant, he ran away from Philemon's house. He's a runaway servant, initially. And there is also some commentaries were mentioned. He might have stolen some money or he might have taken away as a servant when he ran away from the house. When you are a runaway servant, you have no value. And if the owner of the servant found them back, in those days, they could face death. Or they could have a sign on their forehead as if to say they have runaway servant and they can't be, they are really looked down upon. And now Paul is writing to Philemon to say, you know what? I will send you Onesimus. Onesimus means useful. That's the name. And Onesimus, our Oni, was really useful yesterday in lighting and everything. Thank you, Oni. Yes, it's definitely worth to make that name. Yes, definitely. And Caroline would agree with that too. But Onesimus is useful. And that's a very common name in those days because that's how they named them. Because of a useful servant, that's what they are called to be, Onesimus. And one who is a runaway servant, one who might have stolen the things from there, one who has gone away. And now, when we are looking at Paul writing to Philemon in Colossae, it's nearly 1,000 kilometer distance between Rome, where Paul is in chains, to the church in Colossae or Philemon's house. And we are looking at what connection it is, what made him to write these things, and we are talking about the forgiveness here. Initially, we look at the background to say, Onesimus might have had the knowledge of when Paul visited Colossae and knew Paul then, when Paul visited. And he knew that Philemon and their household is friendly and also known to Paul. So he either intentionally goes, let me make you clear, when he says, I met in chains, Onesimus is not in prison. He went to meet Paul. And then he found Christ. And there he says, verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Onesimus became Paul's son because he brought him into Christ to make him known Christ, who was unuseful to Philemon. Verse 11. Who was unuseful because he ran away. But now, it's not only he met Paul to go back, but what he's asking is, he has now encountered Jesus. Now he is born again. Now he is as much as my son because I made him to know Christ who he is. And this is where he's a born-again servant. Now I say, he was useless before he met Christ, but now knowing Christ, he has become useful. He puts his experience as well in terms. We will look into it. But now, to just look into the area, there are so many testimonies we can really think of. Before we met Christ, what were our lives would have been? Before we encountered Jesus, who we would have been? Before encountering the love of God to know, what use we would have been? But after meeting Jesus, everybody's lives will be transformed. It's not that he came only to know or recommendation to say, you know what, this is what happened. I ran away from the house. It is not meeting people makes the difference, but it is meeting the one who is in you makes the difference. When people come and meet you, it's not that they need to see you who you are. If they come to see me, it's not Joel who wants to see. I want them to see Jesus in me. In everything we do, that whoever has been, okay, I'm not good enough to do so, or my life has been so much what it has been. But you know what? If you receive receive Christ, it turns over. When we, yes, we are received and we have been in Christ for so long, and yes, we know, but you know what? The deeper you the relationship goes in, we always find much better. And I was speaking some other day, when you have been in a worse place, when we come to Jesus, it just doesn't have to be knowing Jesus then, but in every situation, time and time again, when our situations and circumstances are against us, we think, right, you know what, Lord, I need to turn to you again. Let me come to you, Jesus. And when you look at those situations and come to God and say, Lord, help. Here I turn to you. Here I come. From the place where it was useless becomes too useful. Always, God does not put you into the place where you are already. He puts you into a better place. Once who was useless for Philemon, and Paul says, now you know what? He has come to me. He has known Christ, and now he becomes useful. And this is where he sends back saying, he is now my son, and now I am sending back to you. And he is going to be more useful. He is useful for me now as he is, but he will be even more useful if I send him to you. And we will look into a few other areas in here, what Paul writes to Philemon. It is exciting to see, yes, you know, writing, but would Philemon, who has really lost this servant, who might have taken the money away, who is run away from his place, now being taken in. Look at verse 13. Whom I wished to keep him with me, that on your behalf they might minister to me in my chains for the gospel, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Paul could keep Onesimus there for his help, but he wants to give. You know what? Forgiveness can't be compulsion. If you want to forgive somebody, it's not by compulsion. It has to come voluntarily. We choose to do it to say, you know what, I forgive you. We have to choose to say, yeah, because of those situations, I had to. That's not really what the forgiveness comes from. What God Jesus gave us is not under compulsion. It was choice that he has made. Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. And we get all excited when we hear about, yes, my sins are forgiven. Yes, God has cleaned me. Last week I was talking about, yes, I've got a crimson sins, but now you have washed me white as snow. And we get excited about it. But if somebody has wronged with us, can we say, you know what, you have made a crimson. There is a dot that you made. Yes, there is something you pointed at me or something that has happened to my life when you have done something. But I'm going to make it clear. I'm not going to hold anything without compulsion, but by just voluntary. Would you be able to do that in our lives in a day-to-day? This is a very practical and day-to-day experience that Paul is writing to Philemon to talk about. You know, this is no theology. There is no doctrine involved in it. There is nothing, but this is a Christian life. By doing so, in everything that you do good, it is evident of glorifying Jesus and what you do. It's not always, yes, coming into the church, coming, doing what we are supposed to be doing, but it more is evident and visible to those people out there when we are out there at the workplace, at the marketplace, in places where we meet others to say, the one who is in me, that's what who you need to see in me. But here is the another real character that Paul mentions to Philemon of what he needs to be doing. For verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. Verses 15 and 16. Personally, I came to this church in 2007, July, just before Ethan was born. And we were here, we are part of this church from 2007 until 2009, May. It's been a good ride. Everything, yes, has been good. But then, for a reason, for a purpose, I had to depart from here to go to Scotland for a few years. Yes, at that time, and you think, what is it that I have to go where it's cooler than England? I mean, coming from India, and England is much cooler anyway. And then from England to Scotland all the way, well, it's cold. But I got used to cold more than England here. Then anyway, what I'm saying and why I'm saying, for a season, if you are departed for the place where you are, when you return, it is for a better place to be in. Maybe if I continue to be here, I would have been for a while. But I see it in a way. God took me to build me up, to receive him more and learn more, to go through the journey and love him more. But when you come back in a different shape. And you come back in a different form. Sometimes we need that place of hideout to really learn. Maybe taking that time. Maybe Onesimus departed from you as a slave for a reason. But let me tell you, he is coming back now, not as a slave. And I did not return the way I left, for sure. I had some more gray hair when I returned. And I gained weight. No, but when I returned, the purpose was different. The vision was different. The focus, I know what I was meant to be doing. God has plan and purpose, and cleanly you see it. If there is a time where for Onesimus, he had to leave because he had to know Christ. It's not that the slavery or the work he has done, but more than the situation, circumstances, and the physical things, it was his heart that he needed to give it to Christ and allow Jesus to be in his life and transform his life completely. And then Paul writes to him, when he comes back, when you come back from the place where you have been or taken or departed, you no longer come as a slave. This is what Jesus did on that cross for us. When Jesus died upon that cross for us, as we were slaves for the sin, as we were under the sin and the curse, when he died on that cross for us, we did not remain the same. He brought us back as daughters and sons. And when Paul writes to Philemon saying, his Onesimus is not going to return to you as a slave, but he's gonna return to as a dear brother. What a change, what a transformation. And also knowing, you know, he would be much useful now to you. He was useless. I knew he was useless. He's wronged with you. Yes, this is things happen, but he will be more useful now. He has received Christ. He can do much better than before. The things have changed, not only in his life, but his life has completely changed. When you come back, things, what you see, what who he is and who he is completely changed. And for us in our lives, if we have been that position where we have, and we know we have come back energized, we have come back refreshed, we have come back more loved, we have come back with the decision, yes, Jesus loves me even more than what I know or what I have experienced before. And knowing and assured for, and as we have been singing today as well, about in Christ alone we find hope. Amen. I'm going to just bring it to close very soon in a couple of things here. But it was also encouraging to see Paul, when he's writing to Philemon, he talks about verse 18. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me. What a privilege now to Onesimus to look at it. Who is a runaway slave? Now Paul asks Philemon to receive him as he would receive Paul. Paul, who he is he mentioning to? Let's look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He want him to receive him. And when the language Paul talks about, one, Onesimus, who was a servant, born servant to Philemon. And now Paul talks the language what can be used to make it very clear to Philemon. You would receive Onesimus as if you would receive me. As a prisoner of Christ Jesus, as he mentions to himself. And also, if he would receive, if Philemon receives Paul, he would probably would receive as a beloved friend, as he mentions in verse 2. And he would also be receiving him as fellow laborer. That's what Paul counts Philemon to be. So you would count now not as a slave, but as if how Philemon treats Paul. In our lives, if we have to forgive somebody, would we really give the place? If somebody was Onesimus in your life, when you receive Onesimus back, would you receive him as Paul? If somebody wronged you, as he says, he might have wronged you, I know. But would you receive Onesimus as you would receive me? It's not, you don't receive him as a servant again. Or if anybody wronged against us, we don't receive those people or forgive those people and say, I'm receiving you back as you were. As they went out as Onesimus, bring them back into your life as Paul and treat them as a fellow brother, not as a servant. It's hard. Jesus, when he has done that forgiveness in our lives, he didn't bring back as slaves. He brought us back as sons and daughters. Amen. And that's what I see is real forgiveness. And that's what Paul is encouraging in day-to-day things. If somebody wronged you at work, bring them back. They might be Onesimus. Bring them back as Paul. Even giving them more respect. Even giving them, so you know what? May there be that something wrong happened. I love you. I dearly love you as my brother and sister. With the love of Christ, that is what Paul mentions about in this letter to Philemon as well. To say, you know what, I can command to take him back, but I wouldn't want to do that so. Whatever it is, If he owes something, put it on my account. Would you say somebody that if you have to forgive someone and say, you know what, put it on my account, I'll pay that off. I can get that cleared for him, but I'll take him back. Jesus did that for you and for me. When Father looked at our life and it is down, and he said, Jesus took it all. He paid it all on that cross and gave us a life that is worth son and daughters. What a sacrifice. We might be just saying and reading that Lord's Prayer. And this is why C.S. Lewis says, it's a good idea until it gets to you to forgive. It's a good thing to talk about until it gets to you. A certain thing happened in 2006 when we first moved to England. One of my cousins, he did something wrong, and really it shook the lives of me and my wife. And it did take away a lot from us. And we did go through so much trouble as well because of what he has done. But then, while I was talking, you know what, when I come to you, I say something happened in my life while I was preparing for this. This is why I bring what I bring. When God works in us, I want it to be worked through me as well. It's not through me, but first in me, then it can come through. And I phoned a couple of weeks ago to my cousin. I wasn't actually intending to talk to him. And I didn't actually phone him either. I phoned his mother. His mother's phone didn't work, so I happened to phone somebody in the house. And my cousin's wife answered, and I spoke to her and said, okay, how are you, everything? And she said, brother, you know what? Your cousin is here, speak to him. It took a second for me, and then I said, yes, give him the phone, I'll speak. And I took him very dearly and spoke to him, and he opened up to speak so many things that are happening in his life. And I just said, my dear brother, it was really good to speak to you after a very long time. Yes, I did speak to him, say hello, bye, and then, now and then. But when it's not only you could say, yes, hello, bye, and then, but did I give him a place of Onesimus, or did I give him a place of Paul? But in my heart, when I opened my heart to say, yes, brother, I can speak to you now. How are you doing? How is your life? And he opened about his life, his family, and spoke to me about a few things. Probably I didn't expect he would speak. I welcomed him as Paul rather than Onesimus. And taking it all and to say, this transforms lives. And I want to say to you today as well, in our lives, those things happen. Who might have wronged you? But welcoming them, it does not just release them. It releases you. And I felt proud of myself, let me tell you. It's good to sometimes, in a good way, feeling proud of yourself. Jesus, thank you for the strength. When you say, not for the victories of, yes, I can do all things in Christ. That was the thing that I could only do through Christ who strengthened me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And it released me. And I'm very happy to share that today to say, you know what? It's an amazing experience that you feel than they feel, whom you forgive. It is such a freedom for us whom we forgive. And also asking for forgiveness. It's okay. It's okay. Yes, it takes off a bit from our head to really get to that level, but I think it's okay. It's real life. I, Paul, I'm writing verse 19. With my own hand, I will repay. He didn't just say by the word. Yes, Paul did not write all the letters. They say, yes, he had somebody helping him. But this one he says, maybe he might have written the whole letter, or maybe he has just said, I will repay. Taking the ownership. Would we take that ownership of forgiving somebody and say, I will repay, but I forgive? It costs to forgive someone. It is not easy. It does cost. And we have to be prepared for that. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. What I've done to you, it doesn't matter. What you need to pay me, doesn't matter. But at this time, I know somebody has owed you something, and I will repay that. Giving that assurance. Verse 21. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. And verse 20, brother, let me have the joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Paul had confidence in Philemon because he knew his attitude and character. When he read in Colossians as well, when he writes with the same kind of starting to say, but he writes there in Colossians, an apostle of Christ, but here he writes as a prisoner of Christ to make a difference of how he feels and who he is. And then we can see that I have confidence in your obedience. And also, Onesimus wasn't sent on his own. He was also sent by somebody to assure what is happening. The letter was carried by somebody. When we are doing it, let us do it in a way it honors them, those whom we forgive. Not completely putting them down and thinking, okay, this is what it is. But actually, you know what? You deserve more than this. Now, Paul writes in confidence to Philemon. I know. I also know. I'm asking you about this, but you will do much more than what I have asked for. Confidence in somebody. Let's gain that trust, confidence in us as well. There are areas in our church life as well where we need, and we are in that position definitely as a leaders, and to say, when we assign somebody to something, they do much more. And we have definitely seen it. We have been seeing, yes, that's what it came to me as well. I can talk about last night when so many people who approached me said, yes, we might be few in number, but we are confident in this church that there are committed people who go that extra mile to make these things happen. Wherever we look at into. In the events recently, what has happened from International Day to yesterday's Curry Night, or from all the way through the year, if you look at it, people have put in their effort. And we can gladly say, you know what? We do have them because of Jesus in us. We do know the confidence that we have and assurance we have. We as a church do more than what we are entrusted to do, and that's what we do as well. So I would just like to finish here to say, and Paul also says he's going to be there in the next mission when he goes, and he's willing to be there in there. And also he sends greetings, and you see Epaphras, again, one more who has been also mentioned in Colossae there. But the main thing for today, this afternoon, God changed our lives, transformed our lives from slavery to sons and daughters. And all Paul writes to Philemon, once Onesimus was useless, but now he is useful to you. And so are we. As we come, when we feel useless in the areas into day-to-day lives, when we go to Christ, he makes us useful and takes us forward. God bless you.